Amen. Halleluja. Halleluja. My life was turned around just by somebody walking up to me in a service and just obeyed the Spirit of the Lord using their gift in prophecy. It was so specific, it was so accurate. That was 1991. I've never experienced anything like that. My spirit bore witness with it. And as soon as that happened, God became more real to me personally. Amen? So we want to be open. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, but we want to take steps, little steps, to give room for God to minister. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The word that the Lord has put in my spirit is part of those 7 letters of worship. This one is the word R. Redemption. Redeem. Came up in the song a few times. There are so many, if you want to put that's redeem the blood of the Lamb. There, if you look at the 7 letters, WORSHIP, every one of them is very powerful. And if we have an understanding of each of them, it will empower us, especially in these days that we live in. But this one that I'm about to share with you, in a transparent way, we can sit a whole year, every Sunday, and talk about it. But because we need to compress these 7 things so that it can stay in your mind and your understanding, especially for these times, I don't know if we're going to share more than this, but pay attention this morning. Because this hour of worship had changed my life completely. I grew up in a culture that is afraid of darkness. When something is dark, they associate it superstitiously with evil. So I grew up always associating darkness with evil. Of course, that's what the Bible says. I grew up in an atmosphere where people are always afraid of everything because they have a reason for it. So when God started doing something in my life to point me towards Him, one of the things I learned, but I learned it through circumstances and situation. Even I've been taught over about the blood and everything, but I did not understand what redemption means. But when God allowed me just a little bit opportunity to understand redemption, especially the blood, it changed everything. It changed everything. And because of the blood, and because of what Jesus did, I just want to say a few things before we go into the word. I remember every time I would go to church, I prayed. We just came out of church service. And, fired up. God was doing something. We came out. It's wonderful. And got home, went to bed, and slept. And all of a sudden, I had this dirty dreams. And I woke up. I just came from church. Where did this come from that night? And I prayed and I went back to bed. Then another time I just came out of serious night prayer. I prayed all through the night, and this was about 30 years ago, 20-something years. And I went to sleep. And I got this attack with all kinds of filthy pornographic dream. I was so angry. I said, God, why? What? Why? Why? Why must this happen? This is not right. You know, I was just very angry. So another time, because what I did when God, when I was growing up, the Lord taught me something about prayer and worship. So the 7 days of the week then, I set aside 3 days to pray in the spirit through the night and 3 days to worship through the night. So I combined those. So one of the nights I spent time in worship, I just spending time, came out, wonderful move of God. I enjoyed the presence of God. Went back to sleep and had pornographic dreams again. So this time I was really angry. I said, what is this? I didn't know much about witchcraft or the atmospheres and things people experience. Because we wear suits, we look good outwardly, but some of us go through a lot of things and we can't explain as believers. Nobody told me much, but when I had this experience, so I went to God and I said, Father, what's going on? And that's when he taught me a lesson that has never changed about the blood. You see, it's just like the radio, it's just like the television, it has channels. The radio has channels and they are wavelengths. And these things are airwaves. So you can tune any channel and anything can come from that channel. So our mind, our soul is showing when we sleep, it's not asleep. So these channels, things can happen anyway. Anyhow, things can be projected in your dreams. You can have all kinds of things. Say the enemy comes at night and sows seeds. So all kinds of things happens in the spirit. And that's why we have some of these dreams or nightmares or whatever. So what happened when I woke up? I said, how do I stop this? And then the Lord told me, says, you overcome with the blood. And he said, from now on, and he taught me this prayer. I've shared it with so many people, and also even recently, a few years ago with Keziah. He taught me, he says, when you have these dreams, he says, you are my son. You've been redeemed with the blood. So when you have these dreams, is the enemy is trespassing. It's a trespass. Because you are my child, it's a trespass. It's a violation of your legal spiritual right. But because you don't know you have that right, and because you don't know it's a trespass, the enemy just keep violating it. He says, from now on, just ask me for justice. That this is a prayer I normally pray. Father, I've been trespassed. I've been violated. Whatever spirit, whatever agent, whatever altar, any source of this trespass, I want justice. And then I'll pray for God to deal for that altar, the source, for the spirit, for if it's an agent, whatever it is, to be dealt with. Of course, I won't go into the prayers I pray because we have some things to cover. So I pray and I deal with those things in the spirit. The first time I did it, I did not experience anything for months. And then I had a dream. I did it again. This was 20, 30 years ago. I never had any of those dreams for almost 30 years. Then, of course, occasionally we're humans. We have nightmares and dreams. Things happen. But whenever I have it, especially when I go do spiritual warfare or something, I use the blood and I confront. I use the blood, just the blood. Father, the blood of Jesus has voice, the voice of the blood. I lift up the banner of the blood, and today I declare that the voice of the blood judge any spirit, any channel, anything that has violated my spiritual right today. So that, I didn't know how dangerous that prayer is until I don't have it. never heard it. But how I knew that prayer was dangerous, because it wasn't me, it was the blood, was a few days after all those, the first time I prayed that about 30 years ago when I prayed that and it stopped. I was worshiping one night and it's like the Lord took me in the spirit and I could hear some kind of discussion in the spirit. And it was like I was hearing, go and attack him and something like that, just that same. And I heard another voice say, don't ever go there again. Don't touch him. It wasn't the voice of the Lord. It was the devil's afraid to do that again. You see, there's something about the law, human law. By nature, we are always wanting our right. We are self-conscious. So if you have a traffic light, and if the police are not there to give tickets and punish you, I'm telling you, there are people that will just drink and their mind, they don't care. They will run that light anytime. It doesn't matter if you're coming. They want their way now. They want it right now. They'll run it. But because they've been caught by the police, they were given ticket the first time. They were given ticket another time. Their license was seized or they were put in jail. There was a restraint. Because they knew if I continue doing this, my life is ruined. Why? Because there's a discipline that comes, a justice that comes by the law. If you allow spirits and demons to play with your life, whether through dreams or things, they will continue until you establish a restraint. And when you do that, they fear you because of the blood. Amen. I'm telling these stories, it's a lot. But there was a time, years later, the Lord started using us in deliverance and all kinds of things. But there was one particular one that was very unusual. And this person has been in Satanism for many years. Been in deep Satanism. And they did all kinds of things. And because of the level this person went into witchcraft, it's not the kind of deliverance that would just happen overnight. So we took weeks upon weeks, to go through the process of deliverance. In the course of this process, this person started telling me stories and opening up to me things that you only watch in the movies, things you will never believe that really happen in the dark world that affect people without knowing. Things that happen to people that go to church because they don't know that they are attacked by all these seances and witchcraft and all these kinds of things, and they don't know why they struggle. So we went through a lot, we learned a lot, and we experienced a lot. And God delivered her, brought her to the level she's able to have her mind. But one thing the Lord said to teach her, if nothing else, just go with this, was the blood. And she told me, says, during the assignment in witchcraft, they can go to any church, they can go to any believer, but the only place that terrifies them, they don't try to go, is people who have understanding of the blood. Amen. Then we were at Mount Zion East. She said, we'll be afraid to come to that church because of the way you pray and the blood. There was a young girl, she's 16 years old. I was about, 10 years ago. She goes to Cleveland Bradley High School. She was in the occult. You know, the high school students had their own thing. They go to the graveyard, do all kinds of things, thinking it's fun, without knowing that sometimes they get, they contact all kinds of things. So if somebody that knew that our church does deliverance called, and I went to their house, And we went in there, under her bed was all these things they use, you know, in their club, and she didn't know she has overstepped the boundaries. She got possessed. So now she can't function, she's tormented, and they called. We got to the house, and we went to, you listen to the Lord what to do, and we went through different steps, and we started the deliverance. And all God, the spirits were leaving her, but one particular spirit did not leave. And I said, Lord, what's going on? She's fine now, but she's still saying, you know, just she's still crying. And the Lord said to me, he says, tell her to open her tongue. And she opened her tongue, and she had a ring pierced in between her tongue straight. And he says, she's made a covenant. And then I used the blood. I said, okay, the blood, by the blood of in Jesus, I break that tongue, that ring popped out, and we never saw it again, and she was totally well. We have seen all kinds of deliverances. A lot. I can tell you a lot of stories everywhere. Why am I sharing this? It has nothing to do with us. It's because of what he has done. But if you don't believe what he has done, so we're going to learn a few things today about our. Amen. Redemption. Redemption. So let's read this scripture together. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign. Hallelujah. The church has put the ministry of deliverance under the rug, and people are suffering in silence. But all you need to know, when you wake up at night, you're being tormented. When you are attacked or whatever, you can, sometimes I've been in a situation where I'm calling the name of Jesus, but as you're calling the name of Jesus, the moment you say the blood of Jesus, things begin to change. And you find out why. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the word redeem? What's the word redemption? Why is it important, especially now in our generation? First, the word redemption. I had to make a note because I have studied this forever and I don't want to take all your time. Redemption or redeem means to exchange something for value, meaning to buy back, to buy it back, to free from captivity by paying a ransom. You pay a ransom to get something back that had been lost or been taken captive or bondage. So redemption is buying back. So we're going to look at a few scriptures so that you can understand briefly why Jesus came. God in the flesh. There are a few things I'm going to list to you that are the benefits, the things that we've been redeemed from. And then we're going to go a little deeper. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. First, let's open to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Abby's going to help us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Today, if you just pay attention to this and digest it, you'll be amazed what God will start doing in your life. You don't be afraid of darkness. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, what does that say? Okay. I'm going to involve somebody. Okay, what does that say? For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ, in him. Jesus became sin. He put it on him on that cross. Sin, period. So that we can have his righteousness when we are born again. Let's open to another one. So we have been redeemed from sin to righteousness when we are born again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Now we also have been redeemed from darkness to light. 2 Peter 2:9. Let's look at 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. What does it say? Hallelujah. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures, so I want you to take notes of this scripture. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord... Is that 2 Peter 2:9? Okay. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. It says, we've been delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Been delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? So God has delivered us from darkness into light. We've been redeemed from darkness to light. I just want you to make sure you just take these scriptures because of where we're going. We're going to look at another scripture in Romans 6:23. We have been redeemed from death to life. From death to life. When we are born again, we've been redeemed from death to life. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of what? Sin is what?
Yes.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed from death to life. We've been redeemed from sin to righteousness. We've been redeemed from darkness to light. Glorious light. Now, 2 Corinthians 8:9. We've been redeemed, you read it now, we've been redeemed, 2 Corinthians 8:9. We've been redeemed from poverty to riches.
Amen.
Poverty is a mindset. You can have money, but you're poor. But you might not have money, but you're rich. We've been delivered from a mindset of poverty, spiritual slavery, to riches and freedom. Fear. We have been redeemed from, let's open to Isaiah 61:1-2. Isaiah 61:1-2. I want you to see some of the things that we've been redeemed from. Amen. We've been redeemed from bondage, from captivity. Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are what? Bound. And of course, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and at the year of the vengeance of the Lord. So you see now that God has redeemed us from captivity, from bondages, from a lot of things that binds us from living a righteous life into freedom. Let's open to Isaiah 53:5. We've been redeemed. Now, all this is the blood. We've been redeemed from sickness to health. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Basically, by the blood of the Lamb. The blood he shed, we are healed. Past tense. We'll be redeemed from sickness. So the blood has power in it for life, for healing. We've been redeemed from what, you know, Adam sold us to, the sin of Adam sold us to Satan. We became slaves to Satan, to sin, to bondage, to captivity. We were running, we're doing what Satan wants because of the fall. We all were living in that condition. So we're slaves to him. But so now, by the blood, we've been redeemed from that to sonship. Amen? Amen? To freedom that comes through sonship. Then here, we also have been redeemed from, poverty, we've been redeemed from death, we've been redeemed from bondage, we've been redeemed from earthly. This one might not make sense to a lot of people, but if you understand these few things we're listing here, it's enough for you to be an overcomer. Amen. We've been redeemed from earthly, worldly citizenship into a heavenly citizenship. Let's look at Ephesians 2:19. Let's read that. Ephesians 2:19. You see, it's important for you to know the citizenship that is priority in your life today. If you come from any of those nations, tongues and tribes of the world, you were born from there, you were citizens from there, or America, or Europe, or Africa, those are earthly citizenship. And those citizenship are still under the bloodline of the fallen Adam. No matter how good the nation is, no matter how wonderful the nation is, you can enjoy the privilege in the physical of that citizenship of the nation. But the ultimate citizenship, the moment you receive Christ, is a heavenly one. It's an eternal one. And the privileges of the heavenly city cannot be compared to anything natural. It presides over every other kingdom. Amen? Amen. And the only visa you need is the blood. Amen? Amen. Passport. So these are just a few of the privileges that is already been established for believers to enter into. That's what we have. That's what we've been given. How did we receive it? How did we come to this? Because of a covenant. God made covenant, a relationship with Adam. And God's word is a covenant word, meaning God's word can never fail because him and his word are one. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So when God speaks, his covenant is finished. So when God told Adam and Eve, don't eat this, he gave them everything. When Adam fell, we went through that, the disobedience. He says, all sinned. I mean, even if you did not live 6,000 years ago, he says all. What does he mean? All have sinned. Because of the disobedience of one man, all sin. And the wages of sin brought death to all men. What does that mean? It means that the blood has been polluted. It means that blood has been contaminated. And that blood is now sinful blood from Adam. So every man and woman that came into the earth came from the blood of Adam, which has already been polluted. What does it mean polluted? It means that blood has violated, disobeyed God, and so that blood has been corrupted. That blood cannot access the kingdom of God. So there was a disconnection from righteousness. There is nothing righteous about the flesh. You can be morally good, morally sound, but that will never take you to heaven. Good morals is not righteousness. Because under pressure, you find that your morals will go out of the window. So, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. That's the nature, the blood we inherited. Anybody with that blood from Adam cannot make it to heaven unless there's a transformation, unless there's an encounter with God, there's an experience with God, there's a shift, there's you encounter God or you embrace God, the kingdom of God. So because of that, for God, when Adam did that, the authority God gave to Adam to dominate the world was taken, and Satan took that authority, took that right. So he calls it the God of the world that runs our lives, the God of this age, darkness, the power of darkness. So ever since then, Satan runs the fallen world. Amen? So there's no way he got it legally by Adam's disobedience. It was given to him. If you read the temptation of Jesus Christ, when he came to Jesus and was tempting him, he says, you see this kingdom, you see all these things, it's been given to me. If you worship me, I'll give it to you. So that's why the occult do what they do, because they want money. So from fall, he received that and started doing what he's doing today in the world. So the world is now full in darkness. The world is full of death and sin. So God had to come to bring a new blood that has no sin in it. That blood carries righteousness, carries everything. And that blood has to come totally different from the line that was already there. And it came all the way from heaven. He was not born by a human being, by the seed of Adam. Luke 2, he was born by the Spirit. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? So he had no seed, no lineage from Adam, but from God. Amen? So this was a pure blood, the righteous blood. Amen? So what has that got to do with him going on the cross? Why did he need to die? Because for sin to be fully paid for, it has to be paid with an exchange of blood. It has to be satisfied. It has to be pacified. It has to be washed, fully paid by blood. And it has to be paid by an innocent blood. So to quickly give you an example, before we get to Christ and then we start rounding up, is this. Before we get to the seriousness of the cross and the power we have today as God's children, I want you to see the power of covenant. First of all, if you look at the life of Noah, after the world was destroyed, Noah made a sacrifice, and when God smelt it, it was pleasant, and God made a covenant with Noah. And there were things God said to Noah because of covenant. That thing God said to Noah, he has fulfilled till now. I will never again destroy the whole world with water. If you look at covenant, God made covenant with Abraham. When Abraham was struggling about God calling him out, then God finally visited Abraham. He made a sacrifice, and God said, I make a covenant with you. Your seed will inherit this land. and nations will come out of, kings will come out of your seed. And God has fulfilled that today. Jesus came out of the seed of Abraham. And a nation has been born from that. Another example of covenant is when God made covenant with Moses for the children of Israel. God says, I will be your God, you'll be my people. I will fight for you, I'll defend you, I'll do this. If you keep my word, if you keep that covenant. And as long as they did it, they were the head and not the tail. God keeps covenant. But when they sinned, they came out of that covenant. Then you look at a good power of covenant again with Rahab. She's a harlot. But because the spies went to spy the land, and this woman was a harlot and sensed that, wow, I better be nice to these people because they are God. So she was very nice to the spies, and the spies said, you know what? If you keep your word, we're going to do something for you. When we come to this place, we will save you and your family. How do I know? Take this pink thing. This will be our covenant between you. When we see it, anywhere we see that, everybody around there is saved. It was a covenant. When they came into that land, the only people that survived, they did not touch, was Rahab and her family. A harlot, because of covenant, delivered her whole family. Because of covenant. The righteousness in the covenant, not her righteousness. So we can go on and on. You see David. David was understood covenant. I can't go into details. But he said this thing. He says, who art thou, Goliath, uncircumcised? The covenant God made with Abraham in Genesis 17 was, when you circumcise the first male, I make a covenant with you. From now forth, circumcise every male by blood covenant. And as long as they kept that covenant, they were distinguished from every other nation as God's people. So when they made that covenant, David knew that they were called into a covenant relationship. He kept that covenant and he says, uncircumcised, we are circumcised, we are covenant. And that's how he fought Goliath, because he had understanding who is behind the battle because of the blood. So really quick, just these are just Old Testament experiences of covenant. Daniel, when he prayed based on a covenant, one man's prayer shifted the entire movement of Israel back to the breakthrough in the days of Cyrus, in Daniel chapter 9. And then, of course, you see covenants all through the Bible. The last one I want to mention that you all are familiar with is the Passover. They have been in Egypt for 400 years, and God already promised Abraham, after 400 years, he's going to bring them out. And then, when they were in bondage, God now sent Moses and said, because of the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I have now come to deliver the people. Because of the covenant. Not because the people did right or they did wrong. It was because of that covenant, he wants to keep his promise. So now, God comes and says, Moses, I prepared you. You now go based on this covenant, bring them out. So he went. Pharaoh, let them go. I see that in deliverance a lot. You're praying for people and sometimes a lot of things are not moving. But in your heart, you start saying the blood, you start praying. After a while, the devil leaves. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. So Moses kept saying to Pharaoh, let the people go. His heart was hardened. Amen? You don't give up because you ask God for something or ask and you don't see the first time. Pharaoh resisted and Moses, things happened to Pharaoh. Then Moses said, let the people go again. He will not, things happen. Then after a while, Pharaoh started getting the message. They said, okay, I will let you go, but not your children. He said, no, let my children go. So God just kept on dealing with Pharaoh and the land. And he still will not let them go. Finally, God told Moses, now he's going to let them go. Use the blood. Get a lamb. And let every household sacrifice a clean lamb that had been set apart for their salvation. This lamb's blood will substitute for them not dying. The lamb will die in their place. So take the blood. Anywhere I see the blood, nobody can die there. Instead, they will be healed. They will be free. They will be rich. They will be blessed. So Moses gave them the whole thing. And that wonderful Passover day, all the Jews sacrificed the lamb and put it on their doorposts. My brothers and sisters, whenever you apply or you use the blood, justice comes. Heaven responds. Things you cannot do on your own begins to happen. Why? Because Revelation 12 says the blood. Hebrews 12, we read it here every Sunday. There's a reason. The blood has a voice. It speaks. If the blood of Abel can speak, the blood of Jesus can speak greater things. So when they put the blood, that night, God came into that place. The angel came. And every firstborn child was judged in the whole Israel, the whole land of Egypt. And nothing happened to anybody where the blood is. Instead, they were all came out strong, healed. And then they went to the Egyptians and plundered their wealth. Favor. Amen? And they came out of Egypt. So again, that's the power of the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament to redeem those that were in bondage, those that were in crisis, those that were in poverty in Egypt, those that were going to the attacks of the Egyptians, the tax masters, the bondage, the pain and the groaning. All that was happening to them in Egypt, they were redeemed, they were purchased, they were delivered by the blood of bulls and goats because of covenant. Amen? So, what does that mean? It means that, let me use a simple example so you can understand the blood. If some people have lost everything they have, and because of the addiction, they can take a valuable treasure, they can take a car, they can take something and take it to cash into check or pawn shop. They take it there and pawn it, and they lose it. And their father or their mom will come and say, what happened to this thing? What happened to your car? Or what happened? They will go cry. The parents will say, okay, we'll get your car back. They'll go to the pawn shop or to wherever it is. They pay in full. Amen? That's called redemption. They redeem that car and give to their son. That happens with when you are in debt. Somebody can be in debt, and the debt is overwhelming you. The creditors are calling on you. They are tormenting you. They're going to take this. They're going to take that. They're going to take that. You just don't know what to do, and you are overwhelmed. And suddenly, somebody says, hears about it, and God says, it might be 20,000. It might even be 500 for some people. It might be 100,000. It might be a million for some people. And they pay it in full. And everything that you lost is redeemed. Your dignity is redeemed. Your joy is redeemed. Your freedom, everything. If it's house, everything is now yours again. That's redemption. You cannot pay for it. You were unable to pay for it. You don't have the ability to pay for it. Somebody paid for it and redeemed you from it. That's redemption. So, because the only thing that can pay for sin is blood. And it has to be a clean blood. That's why in the Old Testament you have to use a clean lamb that was born, that has not been stained. They have to use specific lamb that is clean. And that lamb, use the word atonement, It covers for their sin. It washes for their sin. It redeems them and gives them freedom for another year, another season. For another word for redemption is beyond just forgiveness. Forgive your debt, forgive your sin, forgive everything, and you are free to go. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a quick question. If it's possible that somebody committed a crime and the judge comes and says, you're going to be in prison for 7 years and this, that, 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 and they pass a judgment on you, and then somebody comes and spends that whole 7 years for you, goes through and goes to jail for you, does, pays all the price, and the judge says, done. The sentence has been served by this righteous man. Do you think the police or the judge or anybody can come to your door again and say, serve the sentence again? After the judge has said, served. You're free. It's been paid for. Nobody has a legal ground to come back and say, do it again. So, in the Old Testament, they will bring a lamb and they will confess all the sins, all the faults, everything the children of Israel did by family, and they will put it upon the head of this goat. And they will sacrifice that goat. And that blood covers for them for the next year. Free. That's called redemption. Amen? Somebody paid for it and said you're free. So why is the blood of Jesus so powerful? If the blood of goats and all this pain is so powerful, it's because it's not just the blood of a human being. It is God from heaven. And he came and paid in full on that cross. Every judgment for sin, every judgment for sin, for darkness, for death, for poverty, we just read the scriptures, for bondage, everything that the enemy has accused, everything, even going to hell, every consequence of sin, of disobedience. He said, by the obedience of one man, we have been redeemed. Amen. Jesus on that cross says, is finished. Paid in full. Amen. Amen. Amen? And then when he rose, then he says, if anybody wants to enjoy freedom, they have to believe in me. That's called, you have to be born again. So really quickly, when we are born again, the redemption Jesus did for us is not like what I just shared for you in the physical. What we just learned in the physical is human redemption. It's good, it's wonderful, but I want to share just briefly with you something to compare to the redemption God did for us. Jesus didn't die for us so we can upgrade the flesh. The flesh can never be righteous. He literally gave us a brand new nature. We are born again. Amen? It's not, let me take care of your flesh, let me fix it up, make it nice, and go. No, no, no. He gave us brand new species, brand new DNA, brand new nature, the nature of what? God. That's why we're born again. He gave us the nature of God. So now, we are not just the sons of men, the sons of Adam that fell, we are now the sons of God. I don't know how many people really believe it when you're born again. Do you know what it means that John says, now are we called the children of God? Wow. So for you to be the son of a man, Adam, you are born through his blood. For you to be called the son of God, you are born through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen? So how do you look at it in the physical, the innovation? So if you pawned your Volkswagen, or what kind of, just a Volkswagen or what called small car, because Volkswagen might be big for some people. Just think about a small car. Like when my first car was an old dead Volvo I was struggling to maintain. Just, you had a Volkswagen that was, the tires are shaking, everything is shaking, and you pawned it just to go get you some cigarette or get some drink, and you lost your Volkswagen. And then somebody comes, pays in full, redeems your Volkswagen, isn't it? That's not what Jesus did. This is what Jesus looks like he did. Instead of giving you Volkswagen, he brought the Volkswagen out, but he gave you a Rolls Royce. He gave you something totally brand new, different from anything you had before. It's not an upgrade of Volkswagen. It's a Rolls Royce. Amen? Spirit-filled, born-again believer. That's what we've inherited by the blood. The power of heaven. So, really quick, if somebody redeemed you from using Volkswagen, he brought the Volkswagen out, he gave you a Rolls Royce. Guess what many of us do? We park the Rolls Royce in the garage and we are still using the Volkswagen. That's what is happening to us. We like the flesh and we are still trying to upgrade the flesh when God is saying, I want to take you high above. I want you to sit. I want you to. And we put the things of the Spirit on the shelf. A Rolls Royce is packed. I have Rolls Royce. I'm born again. But I just like this Volkswagen struggling. My brothers and sisters, we are the sons of God. The us out there, I was once there. Drug addicts, struggling, people struggling out there. The Bible says they don't know their left from their right. I was there. I was in bondage. I was struggling. No human being could help. Money can't bring you out of those things. It says in Romans 8 from 18:19, the earth is groaning. It's asking, where are the children of God? Where are the sons of God? Where are the sons of God? Why? Because, my brothers and sisters, the sons of God are those who understood their bloodline and who knows the power in the blood to help people come out of darkness, come out of poverty, come out of that mindset into Christ and walk in freedom. You can have gifts. You can have all kinds of gifts. You can call yourself apostle. You can call yourself teacher. You can call. But if you don't know you are a son first, you don't know the power of the blood. Amen. That's what speaks. Revelations 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So, my brothers and sisters, if somebody tells you to go pick up a car in a parking lot, he's paid for it, fully paid for it. Why are you still walking on the road? Why are you still struggling, walking from here to there, walking, and somebody saw you walking and says, I have paid for this car, it's in full, go claim it. Why are we still sweating and walking? I said, I just like to suffer. No. We don't like to suffer. We're just ignorant of what God has done for us. Finally, It's a story that they've told many times, and it's a true story. His brother in Colombia used to travel. He's a pastor for a training in Argentina for pastoral training. And every time he boards the plane and flies to that place, and when they finish the training, he comes back, the air hostess would say, "Sir, we have this food, we have this food." The guy would say, "No, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm good." So they would let him go. So every time, because he went for this training for 6 months or so, every time they would offer him food or drinks, he would not. So the last time he was coming, when the training was over, after all these months, he was coming and the training was over. The waitress asked, he says, "Sir, all this time you've been traveling with us, you don't eat, you don't drink, we've offered you." He said, "To be honest with you, I don't have the money. And that's why I didn't buy it. I didn't." He said, "No, it's all paid in your ticket. It's there. Everything has been paid for." And the guy said, "Are you serious?" "It's too late. Some of us will go to heaven without enjoying heaven here." He paid it all. We just have to know what is here. There's power in the blood. I can tell you stories of the blood. Let me tell you this one story and we'll pray. There was a meeting. I wish Kezar was here. Maybe somebody that was here. We went to New York. Now, these things I'm sharing not for, just to let you know that you have to translate things from head knowledge to practicality for you to understand this. You know, people read about Jesus, preached about Jesus, and he came, they didn't recognize him. They killed him. And they had theology. Who was supposed to come? So, we went to, there was supposed to be a meeting we had in New York. And that night, we were going to speak the next day. As soon as we came, we settled down. The team that went, we all just settled. I was in my room. And I was sleeping. I was not completely asleep. It's like I was being woken up, you know. And suddenly, in the middle of the night, I saw a spirit on my left hand. And it has this very dark eyes and very evil looking. And in the middle of it, now because I practice this, you know, the Lord, this is something over and over I've come to know that I'm a child by the blood, I practice it. So all of a sudden, as I looked and I saw this, all of a sudden, right there, my hands just moved like this in the sleep, and the Lord put fire in my hands, and I just did like that. And the fire just consumed that thing. Because of the blood. Because of the covenant. It was later I realized that was the spirit that was over that region. It was trying to stop us. That night, it was a mighty move of God. It happens in Burundi. I don't share everything that we experience there. But before you see these things, sometimes you have to establish your authority by the blood, not your righteousness. By the blood. Everything by the blood. Once they know that you know the blood is everything, they open the door for you. It says, Jesus has made a new and a living way for us by the blood of the Lamb. Not our righteousness, but by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. So my brothers and sisters, worship is the key. And as you take those acronyms, those words, once you are able to this season, meditate on the word. And then you not only meditate on the word, you obey the word. You understand who you are called, your destiny, your purpose. And then you know all this is because you've been born by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb, amen? You can never be a lion unless you've been a lamb's son. And then you begin to understand why you're a son. We're going to look at sonship. Why you're an heir of God. Why you can have inheritance. Servants don't ask for inheritance. Sons ask for inheritance. And why the presence of God. David says, I will dwell in your presence all the days of my life. And whatever comes will stumble because I'm in your presence. My brothers and sisters, we're living a very shaky time. The Middle East is shaking. The world is shaking. We must understand we are the redeemed of the Lord. Wherever the blood is, and we know we are sons that are marked of the blood, we are protected. But you have to know it, especially in this season. Amen? Amen. So if I'm asking you, how many of you in this room today believe that you're born again? Okay. Do you know what that means? The communion we take every time here is telling you, telling me, I'm a child of God. Amen? Amen? I carry the blood of Jesus in me. That's what he's telling you. You're born again. You are God's child. Amen? Amen? That's what the communion is saying. So every time you leave this place, whether in your sleep, whether at Walmart, whether anything, if you're struggling, always say, Father, because of the blood, for the blood's sake, have mercy on me. Deliver me from this. Deliver my children. I make a covenant with you by the blood. Save my children. Deliver, rescue. Covenant moves God because he's a covenant keeper. Amen? Amen. Stand on that blood covenant. Pray using the blood. Overcome with the blood. Lift up the voice of the blood of the Lamb and see what happens. Amen? Amen? Every time I wear this ring, what does it say? Huh? I'm married. Amen? Amen? It's not a black ring. It's not a yellow ring. This ring will tell you I'm married to Keziah. Amen? Amen? That's why we take communion. We don't take it for joke. That when you take that communion, it says, that communion is telling you, I'm righteous by the blood. I am free from fear of darkness. I have life. I am healed. I'm free from bondages. Set me free. The blood will speak for you. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Just between you and the Lord, Can you just take a moment and say, Father, what did you just say to me? Who am I? What is the blood? How am I using it? How am I applying it? Am I taking advantage of this privilege, this opportunity, this great power you've given me, authority? If you're here today, just from your heart, thank the Lamb. Thank Jesus for dying for me. If it's not for the blood, I don't know where I would be. If it's not for the blood, I don't know what the devil would have done with my life. If it's not for the blood, I can't stand here today. If it's not for the blood, there will be no food on my table. It's not my strength. It's not my righteousness. It's not my gift, it's not my ability, it's not my education. Because Satan can do anything he wants. But because of the blood, because of the blood of the Lamb. Father, just you and him, just thank him. Thank him for the blood. Thank him for revelation, a seal on your heart. The blood. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. Father, we put on the blood wherever we go. Distinguish our lives because of that blood. Today, put that blood in our heart so that it will come out of our mouth. Whenever we're going through anything, we call on your name and we cry out with the voice of the blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank you for victory in the blood. For deliverance in the blood. Healing in the blood. Receive it. Father, remember your covenant this day. because of the blood. Thank you. So renew your covenant today. Remember today. From this day forth, I will use the blood. I will walk in the power of the blood, the authority of the blood of the Lamb, the liberty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you have children that are lost right now, prodigals, I want you to practice praying using the blood and making a covenant for God to redeem them. Redeem, buy them back, bring them back. If you're in debt, financial debt, today let's apply. Father, I cannot carry the weight of this debt. I don't know how. But today I've heard the voice. I know that your blood can show mercy. Your blood can lift this weight off me. Your blood can cancel it. You can redeem me from this death. I want you to pray so you can share some testimonies. Sickness, by your stripes, by the blood you shed, I have been healed. Father, today I hear it differently. I receive the voice of the blood that I am healed. I am free. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Father, I declare that the blood of the Lamb releases a season of jubilee in the life of your people. In Zion, we claim the voice of the blood. For deliverance, for healing, for restoration, for liberty, for freedom, for breakthrough, mindset shift, things we cannot do in our strength. Let your blood covenant release your power. In the name of Jesus. So let's just say this together in closing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood of the Lamb. From this day forth, I overcome by the blood. In the name of Jesus, I have victory in the blood of the Lamb. I have righteousness in the blood of the Lamb. I am delivered by the blood. My debts are canceled because of your blood. I am free because of the blood. In the name of Jesus, Father, I receive the full price that has been paid for my freedom. The blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. 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 Amen.